And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, January 13th, and it's feeling like January out there, that's for sure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. It's a cold one out there, Bridget. So far, one of the coldest air masses of the season, and it's only going to get colder.
Well, it is January. I don't know that I can call this a big surprise, although I will say, sunshine is helping. It is cleaning up some of the roads because, holy Hannah Fritz, on Saturday, you guys, coming back into Fargo from Fergus Falls to Fargo with freezing rain, that was not funny. And I think a lot of us are just glad we made it home okay because there were several cars doing creative parking in the ditches that most of us were trying to avoid.
Yeah, all it takes is a little freezing drizzle. We didn't have a whole lot, but it was enough to really ice things up, that's for sure.
Oh, we had a lot out on the highway. I mean, like, I had to keep my wipers going in order to keep the windshield clear. It was wild.
You were coming in from Fergus, you said?
Yeah, we were coming back from, I spoke in Red Wing, Minnesota, Saturday morning with Minnesota Farm Bureau's LEAP program, their Leadership Education and Advocacy Program. And boy, it got a little western there from right outside of the cities on the west side until Fergus Falls when it started to rain. I'm glad that's over. Highways around here have been opening up. I've already had several folks report that what was really iced over this morning on the way to work or school has started to get better with sunshine. So yeah. I think that's hopeful.
And that will. And we don't have to worry about blowing snow, at least not today or tomorrow. So that's good news. So anything that the road crews can clear out, the better, and the sunshine does help. And we're looking at, cold conditions, partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon. We're at 2 below right now here at the studio, not going to move much, about 1 below. And temperatures not going anywhere overnight tonight, only downward. 15 below tonight with wind chills 25 to 35 below and a northwest wind at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, 0 to 5 above and then low 30s on Wednesday and Thursday. It will be breezy, so we'll melt off a little bit of this junk only to see it refreeze quickly. As we head into next weekend, there's an air mass coming down next weekend that's even colder than the one that we've got right now. So even colder weather, dangerously cold weather heading in, not only for tonight. I'm sure there's going to be numerous parts of the area, if not everybody, will be under a cold weather advisory for overnight tonight. So if you're wondering what that is, it's something new. It's the same as a wind chill advisory. So just heed the cold. And then next week, to start off next week, we're probably going to have temperatures between 15 and 23 below zero over our area. That's actual air
temperatures. How long is that? Okay, so you said that's going to kick off next week. How long will that last? Because selfishly, I've got an event on ice coming up in February, and I'm a little bit of an anxiety Annie about it. I like to make sure there's plenty of ice. The flip side of
is
terrible. It is terrible for the folks that have livestock. I mean, keeping watering fountains open right now is not a good time. I can say that much for you.
Right. Yeah. We're cold through the end of the month. Now, the LRC had a warm up next week for like 4 days. It'll probably end up being 2 days next week, kind of like what we're going to see this week, a small break for a couple of days and then back in the deep freeze. And then next week, we'll start off the week extremely cold and then moderate for a few days before another surge of cold air. So on the whole, we're going to have below normal temperatures for the rest of the month. Now that we have fresh snowpack, that does kind of enhance the cold just a bit as well. So I don't see any big storms between now and the end of the month. There's a little clipper system coming in around the 22nd or 23rd. That could deposit some light snow amounts, but I'm not expecting anything major out of that. And then the cold weather lasts through early April, Bridget, before things will start to modify just a bit.
Well, I think we can anticipate that. That's not a surprise. There are years that we are able to start planting small grains in March. That's maybe more of a surprise than the fact that it will be colder as we get into April. And I tell you what, a lot of farmers were talking about what that will look like. You know, Gary Lezak spoke last week at the event I attended, and as the founder of the LRC, Gary showed a number of things. What does next year look like as far as moisture content, et cetera? And people were happy to see probably a little bit more than what we had last year. But we don't have to be soaking wet. It's okay not to have root rot because we have so much rain on our corn, et cetera.
Yeah. And I think in the LRC had the targeted area down in the central plains through southern central Minnesota for the heavier rainfall come spring and early summer. Now, that might be adjusted a little bit, but yeah, I think we'll be fine on moisture for the most part. It's, and like we always say, it's all about timing when that moisture comes.
Oh, yeah.
In.
And if if Mother Nature decides that she wants to get after it come spring planting and make up the difference, she will. And we'll, that happened to us last year. You know, if you think about, we had a little bit of opportunity to start planting. Some folks really took advantage of that and jumped in early, making sure that their corn got in, even though common practices would tell us not to plant in cold temperatures like that. They did it. And then they had an opportunity with that corn in the ground about 3 weeks ahead of a lot of other folks who were held up by the rainfall that we had going on. So there's some variability in what you see going on. But overall, spring is coming fast. There's a lot of work already being done to anticipate what our spring planting season is going to look like.
Yeah, and I've
excited
about
that.
I've had a couple emails from snowmobilers saying, well, up until this snow, we haven't been able to ride. Where would you suggest we go close by? Well, if you don't mind a day's drive, I would go to the UP of Michigan. The UP of Michigan, due to this cold air and then the wind coming off the warmer waters, because the lakes aren't frozen, not yet, but they will be if this continues. So you have that open waters. Parts of the UP of Michigan, especially the eastern part, over the next 10 to 14 days are supposed to get 25 to 50 inches of snow. So if you want to do some snowmobiling, take that drive to the UP of Michigan, especially starting next week. That's when they're really supposed to start getting quite a bit of snow up in the UP. So that's not that far away, you know, for the most part. It's not super close, but hey, if you want some deep powder, that's the place to go.
Been there. So I've snowmobiled out there. It's kind of neat. And especially if you're up along the shores of the Great Lakes, it's kind of a nifty spot to be in, a little bit different than anticipated. So. Yeah.
It's definitely fun and scenic, like you said as well.
Very scenic up there. So, some of the things that we see that, I don't know if I want to call this scenic, but news to report for sure. You know, Europe, especially the UK, as well as part of the rest of the European Union, have really been focused on the fact that cows are expelling too much methane and that is causing climate change. And so companies have been coming out with ways to try to stop that concern, right? How do we lower methane emissions, et cetera? There actually was a additive that goes into feed that was developed a couple years ago called Bovair. Bovair is supposed to be added into feedstuffs. That way it would help reduce the emissions. The best example I can give you is it's probably like Beano for an adult, except you're giving it to a cow. And the consumers asked for this. But now that it's available, there is a lot of outcry from the public saying that they are now concerned because they've read it online. Somebody's brother, sister, uncle's wife sent an email or did whatever on Facebook and now says, nope, it's probably harmful. We don't want this. So all the work's been done for Bovair. There are dairies that are already feeding it in the UK. And now the public is saying, nope, we don't like it. We think this is probably something harmful. So be careful what you ask for sometimes when you are in the public eye, because now this type of thing is being watched a little bit more carefully. And again, that's what was asked for. Additionally, there is talk of a vaccine to be developed that could potentially be used to help lower methane emissions in livestock as well, particularly focusing on beef and dairy animals. One of the folks that has been wanting to bring that forward has been Jeff Bezos with Amazon. He may still have an interest in it, but my guess is with everything happening in California, they're probably not paying a lot of attention to that here for a while. So keep that in mind that there are other methods that are being investigated as well. Mm-hmm. So I just found it hilarious that it was asked for, but now nobody wants it anyway.
The Beano. Interesting.
Well, it's one way to describe what you're doing for those cows.
Yes.
They're not shy about it. If you've ever been out with livestock, it's not like they say, oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not how it works, whether they are chewing their cud or anything else like that. So something to keep in mind. Also, while we're talking about animals and what's happening in healthcare these days, hogs have been a big part of research in a lot of ways. But one of the ways that it's even being extended further is the way that pigs' kidneys and hearts can be used for transplant surgeries, particularly for kidney patients. If you're on dialysis, your quality of life is not awesome. And many folks are now starting to raise their hand and say, if this is something that we can do to extend my quality of life, maybe not a candidate for a transplant because of other factors, this may be a situation where pigs can come to the rescue. And also with gene editing, what's able to be done now is there are 10 different gene edits that can be used. They knock out the pig genes that trigger the hyperrejection and excessive organ growth, and then give some added human genes to provide compatibility. Not everyone is going to want this. It is something that people can volunteer for, but it just goes to show one more time how hogs are very similar to us as humans, and things that can be done in research for the advent of the human race. And hogs are stepping up to the plate, you might say.
Good deal.
They're not just good bacon anymore.
Yeah, right. So. we got multiple guests on today, don't we?
We do. We're going to be joined by two guests today. We are going to have Janelle Booth. She is with South Dakota Agro Leadership, and Eric Jennings. He's with the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy. Both these organizations help in rural areas when it comes to bringing better communication skills, better leadership skills, and so much more to our rural areas. We have something similar in North Dakota with North Dakota Rural Leadership. It just so happens that I know Eric and Janelle and some of the work that they do in South Dakota. So we're going to visit with them today, ask about those organizations, how people can get involved. But because both of them have been involved with something like this over time, what does that bring to our rural communities? Because as we watch less people physically being there, we just have smaller communities. How can we all do more with less folks? And maybe they'll be able to help us answer that question. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after we check with the markets from the American Ag Network. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for spending your afternoon with us. We really appreciate having the time to visit, and hopefully you learn and listen right along with Dean and myself, and especially with our guest today. We have from South Dakota, Janelle Booth. She is with South Dakota Ag Rural Leadership, and we also have Eric Jennings. He's with South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy. And I'm going to ask a ladies first here and say, Janelle, would you care to introduce yourself and your organization, please?
Yeah, thanks, Bridget. It's great to be here. So again, I'm Janelle Booth. I'm the CEO of SDARL, which is South Dakota Ag and Rural Leadership. And it is a nonprofit that has the mission of creating leaders in agriculture that, people go through a program, a competitive program, where we select participants from a wide variety of, different aspects of agriculture in rural areas in the state, with the end goal of them being prepared to step up and serve in leadership roles across the state of South Dakota and beyond when they graduate.
Janelle, have you also participated in this program and have some familiarity as one of the members of a class of SDARL?
So I have not participated in SDARL as a member. I actually had the honor of getting the Montana program started back in 2012. You had mentioned earlier that North Dakota has a program, and we actually have a really robust network of these ag leadership programs across the U.S. and actually across the world. So I had the honor of getting involved with it in Montana and now South Dakota as well.
And Janelle, what's the participation been like over the last 5 years?
You know, we've had very robust interviews. Like I mentioned, it's a competitive program. We accepted 30 people into our last cohort, which is getting ready to graduate in March. And, we always have a greater number of applicants than we do folks that we're able to take into the program. We want to be really strategic about keeping the numbers at a level where it's a workable amount of people that we can get into, really in-depth tours that we can get in front of leaders across the state and the U.S. And so we have not seen participation go down. We have seen it shift in terms of, maybe some of the different industries that are represented and folks that apply for the program.
And both states, well, and let's include all three and say Montana as well, have had excellent participation over the years. There have a lot of graduates that have gone back into their rural communities, which has been very impressive.
Yes, we have 326 graduates of Sidoral. The program is getting ready. We're actually just starting the celebration of our 25th anniversary this year in 2025. So the first class of Sidoral started in 2000.
Well, Eric Jennings, you have a little ways to catch up with South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy. It's your first year kicking off, right?
It is our first year, yes, and it's turning out to be all the exciting things you get to feel when you're starting out a new program and putting it together and developing it.
So tell us about your background and also what led to the start of the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy.
Sure. So, as Bridget said, I'm Eric Jennings. I'm the immediate past president of South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. And as president, I went through my tenure as president, we are exposed to quite a few issues in the cattle industry that I maybe didn't have as much information on as I wanted to. There's things that I am not exposed to in Western South Dakota. You know, we don't do a lot of cattle feeding. The marketing is somewhat different. You know, nutrient application is not a thing for us. So there were some issues that I had to learn a lot about. And so I, you know, we kind of came up with the idea that we need a leadership program that will expose our future leaders to the different issues in agriculture. As diverse a state as South Dakota is and North Dakota is too, there's, you know, depending on your location, you're not exposed to a lot of other things. So we kind of developed a program with that in mind. Also with it in mind that we need to be training our leaders to be good advocates for agriculture. And that's, I'm a Sidoral alumni. That's something I certainly learned in Sidoral. So we're trying to take some of those principles from Sidoral Leadership Program and apply it to the South Dakota Cattlemen Leadership Academy to make a good, robust program. Certainly not anywhere close to the level that Sidoral will, not or is, not as complex and intense, but treating this more as a starter, a feeder program for the other leadership programs that are out there.
And Eric, you said you've been in the position for roughly a year, you said. What is the biggest hurdle that you've run across in your short tenure so far?
The biggest hurdle is from leadership from a cattlemen association. Am I understanding
yeah,
correct. The
correct yes.
question there?
Yeah.
You know, I think that the biggest hurdle that we face every day is just getting factual information out there. There is just so much misinformation that gets promoted. And so getting the factual and being able to properly communicate that in an authentic and trusted manner so our elected officials will accept the information that you're trying to give them. I think that's really the biggest hurdle. It comes down to communication and building relationships with our elected officials.
Is there any specific, quote-unquote, misinformation that people just don't understand? I mean, I know that's probably a big laundry list, but maybe like the top two or three?
You know, right now, we're dealing with a lot of EID, electronic identification issues. You know, I'm sure you're remembering that the federal government imposed a new national traceability program. Rule took effect November 5th, or we're still dealing with a lot of information about what that rule is, what it encompasses, and what it will all do. It's all that information is out there on USDA, APHIS, Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service websites, and we've been trying to do a lot of information through Salomon, working with our state veterinarian. Still, we're dealing with a lot of misinformation out there. People aren't understanding what it's going to do, what they have to do to comply with the program. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there of how much more the government is wanting to know that they will be able to find out with the electronic ear tag. And they're going to float a balloon over your ranch and detect the methane emissions and know how many cattle you have and know where those cattle are and how many they need to depopulate. None of that is factual. These EID tags will try to make feet. And all they have is misinformation like that. It's very frustrating. But we just keep plugging along, and that's why we need to work towards leadership programs and learn to be better communicators.
So one thing for both of you, and I'm probably going to start with Janelle after we return from our bottom of the hour news. Some folks may hear us talking about any of these rural leadership programs in any one of our states locally, and they may think, well, but I've already done something like this through Farm Bureau or through a cattleman's organization, and I've already had one. But what if you want to be involved in more than one of these classes and the organization and the skills that it brings? Are they complementary or not? Well, we'll answer that question, and we'll start with Janelle Booth, and we'll do that after we return. We'll check in with the news and be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad you're here today and enjoying this chilly but yet bright and sunny January day. So our guests today are Janelle Booth. She is with South Dakota Ag Rural Leadership. And Janelle, if I'm getting any of those words wrong, you're going to have to correct me. And then also
Eric Jennings.
He is. Thank you. Eric Jennings. He's with South Dakota Cattlemen's Association Leadership Academy. So Janelle, I'm going to pose a question to you. And that is, if someone says, but I've already done a leadership seminar, class, year-long academy with whether it be Farm Bureau or somebody else, can they overlap? Should folks continue to just say, I'm one and done?
You know, Bridget, I think it's so important to continue learning and also expanding your area of focus. We just heard Eric talk about some very specific issues that they talk about in the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Group. What we do in Sidaural is we take a broad focus and we really work on training people on how you tackle tough leadership issues and how you have difficult conversations, how you actually work through some of these sometimes very divisive challenges that the ag industry faces. And the way that you do that is you have to keep putting yourself out there and trying new things and making yourself open to doing new leadership programs. You know, I'll use myself as an example. I grew up on our ranch in north central South Dakota. After college, left, was in Montana, had a professional career, and was able to continue doing professional work while returning to the family ranch 2 years ago. But I knew it was important to keep seeking out opportunities to gain awareness, not only of the issues that are going on in agriculture in the state, but also forging connections with people that aren't exactly right in line with me right in the cattle industry, but have that ag connection. And you learn so much from people when they're in these rural communities. And that is what I think is so important, because then you bring it back to your own hometown. And you can never have too much education. And especially when you start, you know, you can focus on what's pertinent to your industry, and then you keep expanding that network.
That is so true.
Yeah. Janelle, can you give us a kind of a rough idea of if somebody is listening and they want to apply, what qualifications do they need to have?
Yeah. So, you know, we keep our application process very broad in terms of if you make, you know, your living from some facet of agriculture, and it could be production agriculture. You know, we are really focused on getting as many producers, farmers and ranchers into the program. But, you know, folks that are involved in agribusiness, if they're on the, you know, finance or the engineering or the legal or the communication side of agriculture as well. And also if you're in a rural community and you're serving a leadership role in there, you know, in our title, it's agriculture and rural leadership. So if you check any of those boxes, we really encourage people to apply. And it's actually perfect timing to be talking with you all, because we're just getting ready to start taking applications for our new class in February of this year.
So as you are doing that, Janelle, we're going to come back to how people can find information about either one of your organizations and how they can apply. But Eric, you mentioned you are an alumni of Sidaural, and now you are fundamentally involved with and actually very hands-on with getting the Leadership Academy going for South Dakota Cattlemen's. What made you want to do that? What did it bring back to your community for you?
So just, I'll try to be as brief as I can about my background, Bridget, but I spent the first 50 years of my life being very involved in production agriculture, not really having time to do other things and be involved in my community. And then 10 years ago, I downsized our operation, and so I would have more time to do some other things. And the first thing that I did was apply for Sodaro, they kicked off a class that same fall, so I was able to do that. I wasn't really a leader, and certainly communication skills were very lacking for me. And so Sodaro was able to give me those skills that I needed, give me the tools. And so then I was able to have the tools and confidence as much as anything, probably, to move on. So then I went into the leadership of South Dakota Cattlemen. And now I've been a commissioner. I'm a president of the local fire district, a member of the South Dakota Historical Society Foundation. So there's just a lot of things that I've been able to do because I felt that I had had the training to be able to have a significant impact.
I think that there's more than one person that would say anything that they can bring back to their small communities gives us a sense of accomplishment, but also really moving forward, what we can do, as you said, whether it's legislatively, whether it's just within small groups, all the things that we can do ranging from township boards, school districts, and onward. And Janelle, as working with the Sodaro program, but also out in Montana, can you think of any really great examples you want to highlight of what folks maybe did during the program or after that were pretty spectacular?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with a quick example from the Montana program, since it was a much newer program than Sodaro. It was one that we actually spent a lot of time seeing how successful the program was in South Dakota and using that, among other states, as a model for Montana. And things really clicked for a lot of us with the Montana program when we had graduated two classes at this point. We were on the third class, so, you know, it had been going for about 6 years. And there was an issue going on in agriculture in Montana that had kind of been getting a high profile with the state legislature. And on that day, we looked around at the folks that were there at the state capitol that were representing all the different aspects of agriculture and natural resources, you know, that were able to come together and really work and find some consensus before, you know, standing in front of a legislative committee and really presenting a unified voice for agriculture. And the cool thing was, almost all of them were folks that had either already gone through the Montana program, had helped with its formation, or, you know, were planning on going through the program itself. So we just really saw the value of getting people together that represent a wide range of agriculture and then seeing an impact when you can actually watch that played out in something as important as a legislative committee, something that's going to impact policy.
That's a huge step when we can work with everyone legislatively. I often think in the small communities that we need policymakers, legislators to be at the very least net neutral with what we do so that we don't have folks voting against us all the time. So I think that would be a great spot to start. So I know Dean's probably got a question over there. I'll let him jump in too before I keep going on my list.
Yeah, okay. Janelle, can you give us a couple of examples of what graduates have done or maybe anticipate doing once they do complete their courses?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, we have graduates who have taken very high profile positions nationally, you know, whether it's with something like United Soybean. We have multiple graduates that are former South Dakota Secretaries of Agriculture. We have quite a few that are either currently or have served in the state legislature in the past. We have county commissioners, folks like Eric, who wear a lot of different hats in their rural communities, graduates that lead their local school boards that are actively involved directly in their community and also who really step up and take larger leadership roles in their commodity groups. You know, we've got folks that are leading South Dakota corn, South Dakota soybean, South Dakota cattlemen, South Dakota stock growers. The list goes on, our electrical co-ops. And so that's something that we really focus on in Sodaro. I mean, it's exciting that the program has different seminars and then you spend time in Washington, D.C., and we do an international component as well. And all of that's really exciting. And all of that is done with the main focus of preparing people to step into leadership roles in South Dakota afterwards.
Eric, as you think about what's going on with this new venture of South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy, what qualifications might you have for folks, and where can they start looking when it's time to apply for the next class that comes out?
But and we tried to keep the cations as simple as we could. We were looking at, I think, our only two qualifications were you had to be 21 years of age and be a member of South Dakota Cattlemen. So, you know, being a member of South Dakota, you're probably going to be a producer. And so we weren't really concerned about industry people. The current class that will kick off in April, it will finish up January of 26, but then we'll be going right along April of 26 again with the next class. So I would expect that the applications will be available probably in August, September for the next class that would start in 2026. And they'll be available on our website, sdcattlemen.org.
So I think both of you operate as nonprofit organizations, and I'll have you correct me if I'm wrong, but are you constantly looking for funding for those types of things as well, Eric?
Oh, yes. We won't turn away dollars at all. So, yes, if Bridget Riedel wants to be a sponsor, we'd sure like to talk to you about that. But yes, we do have access to a 501c3, so all donations can be tax deductible. Always looking for sponsors. We've got some great partners there with Farm Credit Services and South Dakota Corn right now. But we're certainly open to any sponsorship, but as we'd love to grow this program and make it as successful as we can. And that takes dollars to do that.
And guys, we had an email, a last-minute email question here, so I'm going to let this go to either one of you, Janelle or Eric. I know, Eric, you had mentioned before that misinformation is one of the big problems. So would it help getting some of these students kind of leaning towards the government side after they get done with the programs? Would that help with some of the misinformation?
I'll jump in and say my two cents first here. I think that we certainly don't push people towards, a specific leadership path. Government mm-hmm. is certainly one of them. But one thing that, that we all know is so effective when you're looking at people who are actually making policy, they want to hear directly from the people who it impacts. They want to hear from producers. When you're at the Capitol and you're in a hearing room, you want to hear from the farmer who's going to be directly impacted by that policy. And so we focus on Incidaral, empowering our graduates to understand the process of working with governments, of working with policymakers, so that they are prepared to step up and, give their input and have their voices be heard, especially at a time now where there are fewer and fewer people with ag backgrounds that are serving in government roles.
Okay. Eric, anything you want to add?
I sure agree with everything Janelle said there. It would be great to have a bunch of elected officials that were production agriculture, but in South Dakota, for example, we've got, I think, 105 legislators and less than 10% of them are in production agriculture. So the likelihood of us getting enough elected people that are production agriculture elected to really make a difference is pretty remote. But like Janelle said, having producers meet with their legislators and have that authenticity that they bring speaks volumes for issues.
Eric, I know that you mentioned your link is sdcattlemen.org, and you can find more information on the Leadership Academy there. Janelle, where can folks find you? And I bet you also, as a 501c3, don't mind a few sponsors raising their hand too.
Yeah, certainly. Well, we always appreciate our sponsors, and we receive no federal or state dollars for Sidaral. It is all supported by our commodity groups, by agribusiness, by graduates of Sidaral. So we have a very wide base of support. Our website is sdagleadership.com. So SD is in South Dakota, agleadership.com. And starting February 1st is where you're going to find information on how to apply for the next cohort. So we'll be starting our 13th class. And, it's a very intensive application process where after you submit an application, our board of directors meets with everyone in person. We conduct interviews across the state, and we ultimately introduce the new class at the end of this year.
I want to thank you both for taking the time to visit today because, frankly, I think it doesn't matter which of the four states in this area that you are a part of, having that opportunity to grow your leadership capabilities, your communication skills, and work with legislators is vital to everything that we do in the rural areas. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Bridget and Dean.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. We got to check the weather. We will do that when we come back. So stay tuned.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. It's a cold one out there. We're looking at currently temperatures across the area anywhere between 1 and 5 below. We're at 2 below here at the studio. Even colder in the north central part of the state where temperatures are between 10 and 12 below, while it's in the upper 20s in the far, far southwestern corner of the state. We're looking at pretty cold temperatures, obviously, not only through the rest of today, but also through tomorrow. Tonight, we're going to bottom out near 15 below. I am sure cold weather advisories will be issued across the area with wind chills 25 below or colder overnight tonight. Then tomorrow, not much better, but at least we'll rise above zero, about 2 above under partly cloudy skies and light winds turning to the southwest. They'll increase a little bit by late in the day. And then breezy conditions on Wednesday with southwest winds about 15 to 30 and highs right around freezing. We're right around freezing again on Thursday before colder weather settles in for the end of the week. Not too bad on Friday, temperatures in the 20s, but the weekend turns Arctic cold. That dumps in with highs in the single digits on Saturday above zero and highs on Sunday only around 2 to 5 below. Sunday night and Monday night we'll have temperatures, actual air temperatures, not even figuring in any wind chills, about 15 to 23 below zero throughout much of the area. So even colder weather coming for the start of next week. It only lasts a few days because then right after that, we pretty quickly warm back up by the middle of the week next week.
Well, we'll get a couple of days of that anyway. And this weather update is sponsored by Ryan Bonesack of Equitable AgriFinance. He is providing long-term fixed rates for farmland financing and here to help local farmers and ranchers. Give him a call at 701-261-6529. Talk to Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. On our break, I heard Darren Hefty's little Ag PhD minute, and I heard him talking about Enlist herbicide. And he said, when using Enlist One, you know, making sure that spray coverage is vital. Make sure that you're spraying small weeds. He's right. Labeled weed size there is 1 to 4 inches. So if you're already seeing them at the size of a pop can, a 12-ounce can, that can's 5.5 inches tall. That's already getting too big for a standard rate. And he said, make sure that if you're going to choose a tank mix partner, choose Liberty. And Liberty's active ingredient name is glufosinate. I'm good with using Liberty. My concern is, particularly for this region, we can use Liberty in our soybeans and our canola and our corn. And with that going on, there's a lot of Liberty being used. Do not cut the rates with Liberty. That's vital because I'm afraid we're going to start to build resistance at the concern that we're not using the right rate. We also have to make sure with Liberty, that's a 20-gallon of water per acre spray mixture. Liberty needs good water for good coverage. Sunny days, humidity matters. It was probably 3 summers ago. We had a summer that we didn't have very much humidity and our Liberty applications were not very good because we consistently didn't have enough humidity in the air and it really does need it. So just to build off of what Darren said, whether you're using Enlist One, really any of those other herbicides, just make sure we know those rates and all the little technical things that go with them really well. Also, nozzles and placement are extremely important when we're using products like Liberty as well as Enlist One. And if you ever have any questions on that, you can email me ag@flagfamily.com and I'm more than happy to direct you to all the right people to answer your specific questions if I can't. So glad to do that. But looking forward to, like you said, Dean, a little bit of colder weather. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that, but it is January. Let's get it done and over with.
Yeah,
then we can move on.
Yeah, I mean, the ice is, you know, hey, nothing wrong with adding another inch or so of ice thickness as we head into the end of the month and into start of February. You got agronomy on ice coming up next month. We want to make sure that the ice is bad, and I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it'll be plenty thick for that, for sure. What's the report from up there so far? Have you heard anything, Bridget, or a little behind last
right
year?
Off of right? No, oh God, no. Last year, okay. We had terrible ice. Last year, a lot of anglers never even put their houses out because there was just so much instability and variability in the depth of the ice. So this year, we're looking at probably 20 inches of ice, roughly at Woodland Resort, right off of, on Devil's Lake, right off of Woodland Resort. So That's coming along pretty nicely. Personally speaking, I didn't grow up around ice fishing. I always think we should have a minimum of 30 inches, you know, put extensions on those ice augers. I'm sure right now there's a lot of folks that are just laughing at me saying that, but just a thought.
Well, plenty of ice building weather. Hope. Yeah, through the end of the month. Just no big snows through the end of the month. Just a little clipper system later next week. So snow enthusiast, I wish I had better news for you. We still have February and March to go through, so hang in there. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.